Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, actually, looks like we've got our guest already on the phone lines with us. I was thinking we would start after our 7:10 break, but hey, let's just jump right into it here. Great to have J.P. Gallagher, Butte Silver Bow Chief Executive, with us here on Montana Talks. J.P., great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I wanted to get your reaction to this news, the EPA canceling a $20 million grant for a Butte Resiliency Hub. But since we've got just a quick few minutes here before our first break, what else is going on in Butte that you want to tell folks across Montana about?
Well, you know, of course, the legislative session has had some impact on what we see maybe coming forward to Butte. You know, they're looking at putting a lot of money into corrections. One of the locations that they're looking to potentially come to is here in Butte to locate the new women's prison. And so we're kind of watching to see what happens with that. They have a lot of interest in Highlands College, purchasing that and then moving Highlands College, the two-year college, up to Montana Tech. So that's a big project as well that, you know, corrections is a tough thing, you know, and as an economic development tool, that's not a great thing for the community, but it brings construction, it brings some jobs, but it also impacts housing and things. So we got to see what the impact will be with that, but it looks like that's the direction that they're trying to go.
Yeah, and then, of course, you got an expansion of the state prison further down the road down in Deer Lodge as well, which will have some, you know, secondary economic impacts for Butte Silver Bow as well.
Yeah, it absolutely does, and like everywhere around the state, housing's an issue that we're working on. We've created a new housing plan and hired a housing coordinator, and we're looking at how to develop. Everyone talks about affordable housing, but we talk in the terms of attainable housing here in Butte. You know, what is attainable for residents as they're looking to get into their first homes or even the rental market.
What's the growth been like in Butte Silver Bow? It just seems like it's been pretty big in Butte as well, especially a lot of people saying, ooh, Missoula's a little too busy, Bozeman's a little too busy. So it seems like there's been a lot of growth in Butte as well as a result.
Yeah, we're seeing people moving in. We also are seeing some of those commuters that are coming here to live because it's more affordable, but also commuting to Helena and Bozeman and to other locations outside of Butte here, including, like you talked about it, in Deer Lodge at the prison. We get a lot of people that live in Butte, but also work down in Deer Lodge. So, it's impacting our housing market, but we're seeing pretty significant growth. I think, a few years ago, we were probably under 35,000. I would say we're topping about 37,000 right now.
I think I saw a headline the other day that parking in Uptown Butte has been a bit of a challenge here of late, given that growth.
Yeah, I think everybody has that challenge of parking. And, I don't know if we have as big of a parking issue as most people think. I think it's just that, we're used to having pretty empty streets and people could park wherever they needed to. And the public's got to get used to having to walk a block or two away. We have parking lots and parking structure in Uptown Butte.
Just might be a little bit more of a walk. Yeah, well, what a beautiful spot to walk around to, the architecture and everything. All right, hold that thought. Quick break.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some patchy fog in some areas early. Otherwise, looking at highs ranging from 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, expecting clear skies, lows from the mid-40s to around 50. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine, low 70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It wasn't exactly President Trump versus Vladimir Zelensky, but when newly elected Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, came to the White House yesterday to talk tariffs, The president was still pushing for Canada as a 51st state, talking about the trade surplus that Canada runs and saying, as a real estate developer, you look at that artificially drawn line. Somebody drew that line many years ago with a ruler. It's a beautiful formation. And Carney stood his ground. He says, as you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale. That's true. We're sitting in one right now, Buckingham Palace, that you visited. And having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale. It won't be for sale ever. To which Trump said, never say never. This was a news conference before they even met. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, lots to talk about here with J.P. Gallagher, the Butte Silver Bow chief executive. And by the way, I've been to that chief executive's office there in Uptown Butte. What a beautiful facility that is. I mean, just all of Uptown Butte. You know, if you got to walk, if you have trouble finding a parking spot and you got to walk for a block or two, what a great place to walk around. That's one of the best things about being in Butte for St. Patrick's Day. But, of course, we're in Butte right now, 1370 KXTL on the radio. So, JP, got to get your take on this story. EPA cancels $20 million grant for Butte Resiliency Hub. I talked with you a little bit during the break. You think there still might be a path forward for this project?
Yeah, so, you know, we know that there's an appeal process in the next 30 days that we'll appeal the decision to the Region 8 director, who is the new director, or new administrator, I should say, Cyrus Western. We'll go through that process and try to get the decision reversed. We feel like, you know, we met all the requirements that were put in front of us with our resiliency hub. And then, you know, if that's denied, then we're going to move forward. And we know that there's a lot of court actions out there that is saying that, you know, you can't pull this congressional already allocated funding that we've entered into a contract with the federal government. So we would pursue those avenues as well. And, you know, we're going to try to work with our congressional delegation to try to help ask them to help us out to get this reauthorized.
Yeah, interesting. And so, yeah, but even without the EPA funding, the $20 million grant from the EPA funding, I know the Dennis and Phyllis Washington founded the Washington Foundation ponied up a whole bunch of money. I think you were telling me what, $15 million they ponied up to support this type of a community hub. Is it essentially kind of like a civic center? I was reading it about it and describing it yesterday. I know you used to be the Parks and Rec director. So talk about why you see this as an important project for Butte.
So, yeah, the Civic Center is an event center, really. So it works as such. So, you know, like tournaments and concerts and different events like that. But the Resiliency Hub is a lot more than that. It would have, like, classroom space, arts and culture area. But then it would also have recreational area that you can transform from, you know, sport to sport, or, you know, just doing different kind of activities within it. We were talking about building it large enough to put an indoor track inside of it as well. And that it also would serve as an emergency shelter. And as we, know, we get a lot of wildfires and wildfire smoke, and it sits in this valley and it impacts our residents. And as, you know, a lot of people know, we live in kind of a high poverty and aging population that is impacted greatly by it. So we put a robust air filtration system into it so that people could go there in times that we're impacted by that smoke, or if, you know, we have other emergencies.
So, yeah, later today, I know in the city of Billings, I think the governor's going to be on hand for that. They've got a big indoor ice arena that they're breaking the ground on right now. And Signal Peak Energy, the coal mine north of Billings, ponied up $6 million to help make that a reality. You've got the Washington Foundation for this project. Why EPA funding for something like this? I mean, was this just kind of a smart way to get creative, to get some federal dollars to support the project? Because I know a lot of our listeners might be saying, where's the EPA justification for this? I know you talked about using green infrastructure, solar power, things like that.
Absolutely. So we structured it so that we fit the needs within that community change grant. And that's within this grant, the requirements were, you know, what is the impact to the community? Are you using some of that green infrastructure? Also having emergency preparedness that would go along with it. So we built it around that. But also, you know, you talk about health and wellness, and probably there's no other community in Montana that's been impacted, more by, the historical mining and some of the things that have, that have happened within our community. And so this gave, a component of health and wellness that fit into that as well. And so, when we were awarded, they said we were probably the most complete project that they had out there. We worked hard on this. We were into it over a year, but also we had a lot of community input. So we did a parks and recreation plan. We did a comprehensive plan. We did a new housing plan, all of these things. And so one of the things that also is, it's a reclamated site as well that was remediated and reclamated right behind the Civic Center. It met just so many components that it was asked within that grant.
I saw, by the way, speaking of other topics here, I saw, I think it was Interior Secretary Doug Burgum was talking about just energy and how much more energy, our electricity in particular, our country needs right now when it comes to the AI race with China and national security competition with China as well. And basically, we need more energy to power all these data centers that would assist with AI, with artificial intelligence. And we've got less than a minute to go before our next break here, but I understand a major data center is inbound for Butte Silver Bow as well.
Yeah, we've had a purchase and agreement to purchase 600 acres out of the Montana Connections Industrial Park. And so we have interest in a data center here. We've been in a lot of conversations, and so that's moving forward. It's, one of those things that, it's a challenge. Where's the energy going to come from? But these data centers, just based on what we're doing right now, I'm on my cell phone, the demand for AI, and it's here. It's a real thing. And so they're looking at us, and we're on board with locating this data center here in Butte. And so the energy things, they're going to have to figure that out. There's no doubt about that. But we're on board working with them. It's a huge investment into our community. They talk at $1 to $4 billion type of investment.
Wow. All right, hold that thought. Got to take another quick break.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We should all give our profound thanks to Montana legislators who once again poured themselves into crafting laws that address opportunities and challenges we face across the state. These results of those efforts aren't always pretty, however, and that's especially so for the property tax. Each successive legislature, it seems, gives us the property tax system is more complicated than before, and the 69th legislature followed that long tradition. Faced with political firestorms caused by galloping residential housing valuations, lawmakers have responded with a mixture of rebates, exemptions, and tax rates that vary by property use and value, all designed to shield homeowners, from bearing the brunt of future trends in market value. Viewing all this hard work from the cheap seats, one thought comes to my mind. That is the plain and simple fact that property taxes are decided locally, and most of the levers to control their growth can and should be pulled by local taxing authorities, not the legislature. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. One of the Popemobiles will be converted into a mobile health clinic to serve children in the Gaza Strip, fulfilling one of the final wishes of Pope Francis. This particular vehicle was used during his 2014 visit to the Holy Land. It's being transformed to hold diagnostic and emergency medical equipment to assist young patients in the area. The Pope entrusted the initiative to Caritas Jerusalem, a Catholic aid organization, months ahead of his passing. The Popemobile will have vaccines, diagnostic tools, suture kits, and more, and will be staffed by medical personnel. The aid organization plans to send the mobile clinic to communities that have a lack of healthcare facilities once humanitarian access to Gaza is possible. Francis had a variety of Popemobiles that he used for appearances. The one used during his visit to the Palestinian territories in Israel remained in the region after his visit. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
He's alive. He's still with us. Man, a lot of our Montana Talks listeners were worried. They're like, hey, how is Ken in Great Falls? Is Ken okay? We haven't heard from him since the election. We got to hear from Ken in Great Falls for the first time since the November elections on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Now, it's great to hear from Ken. Glad to hear he's doing well. What do we got coming up for Wednesday's Montana Talks? Well, John Jackson, the Joker from X, he'll be with us for an Unwoke Wednesday.
Wednesday edition, Clay and Buck will break down the absolute latest on the big, beautiful bill as it continues to wind its way through Capitol Hill. Plus, we'll be joined by Raymond Arroyo, who will be live from the Vatican City as the conclave to select the next pope is officially underway. All that and more, Wednesday edition, Clay and Buck.
New News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The meat of the event, that being the World Angus Forum here in Brisbane, Australia, is officially underway. One of the keynote speakers is Mark McCulley, CEO of the American Angus Association.
The American Angus Association, our breeders, obviously viewed as leaders in the world. And so there's always an interest in what's going on in the States. What are we thinking about in terms of our genetic advancement? And so I'll spend some time talking a little bit about just the growth of the Angus breed, the demand for registered Angus cattle across the United States. Talk about the diversity in our breed, the diversity in our market today. We'll also, one of the areas is we'll spend some time talking about the World Angus Evaluation. That was something we rolled out about a year and a half ago through our subsidiary company, Angus Genetics Incorporated, where we do a combined genetic evaluation for the U.S., Canada, and Australia. It's a great way for us to compare animals on a common currency, as we talk about, for EPDs. That's really enabled trade and import and export of genetics that we can compare across some borders. So we'll spend some time talking about where we're at with the World Angus Evaluation. And then John Stick is also going to be talking about certified Angus beef. And I know the certified Angus beef brand is looked at across the globe as a leader in branded beef. And I know there's always interest from breeders and Angus enthusiasts to hear what's going on there.
Over 2,500 people from 26 nations are here for the event. I'm Lane Nordblunt.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, thankfully, J.P. Gallagher, the Butte Silverboat Chief Executive, able to stick with us here for a couple more minutes, yeah, since we had to run to that hard break there. Data centers, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with some friends, and think about what you can do right now. I mean, it's just crazy. You could have, like, some water running through your property, and you could put, like, your own little tiny little hydro dam on there, like a little mini hydropower dam on there, and you could actually generate electricity for some data center somewhere else across the state or across the country right now, and you could generate revenue on your own property. I mean, there's little things like this that people like me would never even think of, right, in terms of opportunity when it comes to AI and artificial intelligence and the AI race with China and just the massive demand for more electricity and more energy right now. I mean, even Silicon Valley, for example. I mean, these tech executives in Silicon Valley that were kind of going green, if that's what you want to call it, wanting everything to be, well, it's got to be solar or it's got to be wind or whatever. They don't care right now. They just need electricity to power these things. But yeah, very interesting news about this data center inbound towards Butte. J.P. Gallagher, you were saying how big of an investment could this be?
Well, they talk in the terms of billions here. So you're $1 to $4 billion. They're looking at a site. They put, of course, the option to buy the area that we have. And they're also looking at an alternative site as well, kind of the twinning of a data center over in the Anaconda area as well. So, you know, it's real. The company, the purchase is called Horizon, but the data center that does this is Sabey. And Sabey has data centers all over the West. They have one in New York, down in California. So this is a real company, real investment that has the ability to put this kind of money into a center here. You know, and they talk about they build the suite, you know, whoever there needs to be there, whether it's Amazon's or, you know, just other big Google and things like that, they create the space for them. But when you talk about the energy, you know, they're talking about stuff behind the meter. And so there's going to be alternative energy initiatives, I think, that will come forward in many of these places, because we got to figure out where they're going to get their energy. And they talk about, you know, with generators and multiple other things and battery backups. And they consume a ton of energy. But, you know, one of their attractive pieces for them here for us is that we have industrial water. And so part of the high cost of the energy is cooling these data centers as they're operating. And so, you know, we have an industrial water system that we may be able to facilitate some of that cooling for them. So that makes it so that their energy consumption may go down a little bit.
And Montana, cooler temperatures are certainly a big selling point for data centers overall as well, something that we've found. And then our access to the digital highway or the electronic highway, if that's what you want to call it, from a tech perspective is another big selling point for Montana. Well, very interesting. In fact, the demand for electricity now, there's even been talks. I've been talking with some of our Colstrip area friends, and there's even talks that they might reopen Colstrip 1 and 2 because of the demand for electricity being so high. So I could see that being really good news for Butte as well.
Yeah, you know, I think they're looking at everything, and, you know, Northwestern Energy has to be a piece of this, along with this. And I think that the governor's office has been very much involved in, you know, how we're going to be able to facilitate that energy production and get that delivery to a place like in Butte. Butte, you know, has infrastructure out at Montana Connections. We're working with them, and, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Of course, this is going to take some time to get done, but, you know, they talk about, you know, over 1,000 jobs when they're in construction, because like you said, they span a pretty good landscape on the facilities that they build there. And then after they're done, you know, building and operational, you're talking about 150 jobs that are good paying jobs that have, you know, a great place for them here in our community.
All right. Well, J.P. Gallagher, it's been great having you on the show here. We'll have to catch up more often. Anytime you got some big news you want to share with us, let us know or just call into the show. Before I get to the Fox News update here, are you starting to see a bunch of Las Vegas Raiders gear around town now with Butte, Montana's own Touchdown Tommy getting drafted by the Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, what an amazing deal. Tommy Mellott is the most deserving kid that I've ever been around in my life, you know. And so, yeah, of course, people are, you know, I hate to say it, I'm a Cowboy fan, but I think we've transformed to a Raider fan while Tommy Mellott is there. And it's, everybody's so excited. But it, like I said, you know, I think everybody in the state of Montana realized how great Tommy is. There's not a more deserving kid to work harder in his life to get where he's at, and just, you know, maybe the best quality individual that we've produced out of Butte in a long time.
Well, you now have an excuse to no longer be a Cowboys fan. You got to be a glutton for punishment as a Dallas Cowboys fan. All right.
It goes way back to even before Roger Staubach. That's how old I am.
So. All right. Well, JP, great to here before our next guest joins us on the show. We're going to be talking about the Patton Veterans Project. The grandson of General Patton was recently in Montana, did a big event for the Veterans Navigation Network. We're going to be catching up with the Patton Veterans Project here in just a few minutes, because I think they are coming back to Montana here very soon, this month. So we're going to talk with them here in just a second. All right, you guys know me. I love talking about diet and nutrition because of our friends at Billings Last Diet. What do we talk about when we're talking about Billings' last diet? What do we talk about when we talk with Dr. Williams and Dr. Jordan? The importance of having protein in your diet. The importance of getting the ideal amount of protein in your diet. Did you know that apparently this is a thing where the left is now complaining about people who promote diet and nutrition? Will Cain had this montage on his show on Fox yesterday.
You are what you eat. And according to Vanity Fair, a protein-heavy diet says a lot about your politics. The magazine getting roasted online after writing, "Why are Americans so obsessed with protein? Blame MAGA." From the Liver King to the podcast bros to RFK Jr.'s MAHA constituents, America's infatuation with protein has reached a fever pitch, and it's undeniably gendered. How is that gendered? Apparently, it feeds into toxic masculinity. The article says protein suggests a strong correlation between the rise of the likes of the men's rights movement and our national lust for protein. It's not just Vanity Fair, by the way. The New York Times writes, "Seeing red at the table," suggesting, again, protein codes red or right. It wasn't that long ago, last year, that The Guardian said getting fit is great, but it could turn you into a right-wing jerk. Okay, so getting fit and eating protein turns you to the right.
All right, anyway, then he had Mary Catherine Hamm on, getting the woman's perspective. She had some great comments as well. I'll share that with you here in just a few minutes. But yeah, hey, look, it's not just a man thing. In fact, actually, what's really funny is Billings' last diet, when they first got up and running, it was mostly women who were using their ideal protein program. But now they're getting an older demographic. They're getting more men because more people just understand the importance and the benefits of having protein in your diet. Hey, they've got a remote option. So whether you're in Butte, Kalispell, Great Falls, you name it, you can benefit from Billings' Last Diet. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call right now at 294-6751. So you can attend their free seminar. And, of course, if you live in Billings, you can show up in person. But, yeah, that remote option is working wonders right now. Tim and Savage out there on the Mondakistan border lost 100 pounds. So now he's really a right-wing wacko. I mean, he's fit to fight. He lost 100 pounds. Have you noticed this with the left? They don't want you to be happy. They don't want you to be healthy. Shut up and take the jab. Eat bad food. Don't eat beef. They always want to spread the misery.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
Man, I tell you what, we are going to cover a lot of ground coming up in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours of this show. John Jackson, the Joker from X, he's a retired federal law enforcement officer, has over 100,000 followers on X, lives here in Montana. He's going to be with us here for Unwoke Wednesday. Normally, he's with us every Tuesday, but, you know, he was doing another one of those things that they say are privileged white supremacy things. He was at a track meet. Apparently, running is racist now, according to some on the left. But because he was at the track meet yesterday, he's going to be with us here today for Unwoke Wednesday, and we're going to cover a whole bunch of topics. Canadian Prime Minister Carney meeting with Trump at the White House. Jasmine Crockett with some crazy commencement comments. And much more. But first, let's jump into a serious, important topic here. In fact, a while back, I didn't get a chance to attend this event. I forget what I had going on that same weekend, but the Veterans Navigation Network, great outfit. A friend of mine who's a former Army Ranger is a big part of the Veterans Navigation Network. And I forget who I was talking to, but they were telling me that they had the grandson of General Patton do an event for the Patton Veterans Project with the Veterans Navigation Network here in Montana. And I remember asking them after the event, I said, "Hey, how was it?" They were like, "Man, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. We got to get him back here to Montana." Now with us on the phone lines, we've got Ben Patton, a grandson to General Patton, who is with the Patton Veterans Project. Ben, great to have you on this show, and I'm glad to hear you coming back to Montana.
Yeah, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, Aaron. It's great to be on the show. And I'm a huge fan of Veterans Navigation Network. Mike McManus and Blake Furman run it, and they're stand-up guys. And they're both alumni of our workshop.
Yeah, Blake's the Army Ranger guy that I was talking about. Really neat guy. And Mike's doing great things as well for all the veterans organizations across the state. So tell us about the Patton Veterans Project.
Sure. So, inspired by my grandfather, but also my dad, who was also General George Patton, I started this about 14 years ago, initially working at bases and working at VA hospitals, and now we're working at colleges and community colleges. And what we do is we gather veterans together, a lot of them up in Montana and Wyoming are isolated and hard to reach, and a lot of them aren't really enrolled in any kind of care, and in many cases don't look out for themselves. But what we do is we hold workshops on the weekend for about 18 vets at a time. I bring top filmmakers together. One of my filmmakers that will be there at next week's workshop is an Oscar winner. And so these are high-quality people. And so vets come together. They don't know each other. And over the course of a weekend, they get to know each other, and they create narratives that kind of empower and connect them with one another. And they make films. And those films a lot of times have a redemptive, often therapeutic quality about them, and they're very, very powerful.
Yeah, one of our legendary veterans, you're the grandson of a couple of legendary veterans yourself. One of our legendary veterans here in Montana is Ben Steele, a Bataan Death March survivor. And I remember when I got to interview him and hear him speak, he's since passed away, of course, but when I got to hear him speak and talk with him personally, it was interesting because this guy survived one of the most horrific events in our nation's history, the Bataan Death March, and he saw so much death and destruction and misery, right? But yet every time you see this guy, he would have a smile on his face, and it was through his artwork he was able to process and think through everything that he had seen. And he talked about how that is what helped him overcome all of the trauma that he saw and experienced.
Yeah, it's funny. Ours is similar to that. I mean, if you think about video, perhaps the most powerful communications tool ever invented by mankind, and you can push a button and everyone in the world can see it. But it actually encompasses a lot of other types of telling stories, perhaps even including art. And so it's a very powerful medium to communicate things both to themselves and to each other, but also to family members and community members that see these films. And by the way, I heard you mention that you were thinking about coming, and you yourself are a veterinarian?
Yes, yeah, yep.
Well, then you better get over to our workshop next weekend. As I was going to tell everybody on your show, it's the 16th, evening of the 16th of May on Friday, and it runs all day Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, 17th and 18th, and it's free. Meals are provided, and you're going to have some hot-to-trot filmmakers making movies that sort of, not documentary, but they kind of express things that are important to everybody. And it's important to say that it's safe. You're in a safe environment, and you don't have to be in the film if you don't want. It doesn't have to be your story exactly, but it has to express something that you've dealt with that you'd like other people to understand. And it helps a lot of these vets kind of put their narrative back together, in their new norm, and sort of make sense of a lot of things that often don't make sense.
I really do need to, I'm going to hold on to this and see if I can get this on my calendar, because this would be incredible to attend, just to meet the folks that are going to be in the same room, meet guys like you and what you're doing. So this workshop, let me just tell folks some of the details here again. This is taking place at Montana State University Billings, at MSU Billings, May 16th through the 18th. 3-day workshop, and I think they can they just go direct to you guys at the Patton Veterans Project to sign up to get more details?
Yeah, they can go to our website at pattonveteransproject.org, but the simplest way, probably, since a lot of people don't use email anymore, is to call my OIS veteran colleague, Mike Lehman, and the number is 970-657-5500. Did you get that? 970-657-5500. I sound like I'm doing a PSA, but he's a great guy, and he'll call you back. And if we don't have enough room in this workshop, which we do right now, we have several spots. One for you, Aaron, and we're going to come back there as quickly as we can if we get a wait list. And the other thing is, we have a screening usually about a month later. I think this one's on And about a month later in June, where vets have had a chance to integrate this, show it to their family, they come back and they present it to a community and to the community and community leaders and whoever we can get in the room, and many other veterans often that are thinking about doing it. And it's a very validating experience to do that, you know, to finish a project, to have it express something that you care about. And we've done 90 of these, and I've worked with 1,500 veterans and made over 300 films. So I pretty much, I know how to do this. Well, and it's very positive. People come out of there very transformed. And a lot of folks that are isolated and aren't interested in seeking care, we've proven that 8 out of 10 of the vets that are not enrolled in any kind of health care go and seek it after our workshop. They come out just feeling more positive about the world.
Yeah, well, and I think, too, you know, as a post-9/11 veteran, you know, even when I was in Iraq back in 05 and 06, I mean, we are the digital generation. And so everybody had a camera. Everybody had sometimes even phones. I had a helmet camera. I had a small HD mini camera that I would hold around, and then I could send videos back home to family. And so, yeah, it would be incredible one day to actually put something together, especially when I think about, you know, I said 2005. Well, it's 2025, you know, we're talking 20-year reunion time. And so to have the skills to be able to put something together, or at least just some pointers, because even those of us that were trained in broadcasting, it's like, man, where do you even start? And then part of it's kind of like, man, it would be fun just to put something together just to share with our fellow soldiers.
Yeah, and working with top filmmakers is pretty cool. I mean, my Oscar-winning, you know, filmmaker for an animated short about World War One is pretty talented guy, and these guys know how to make movies, but it's really up to the vets. They can do, if they have total creative control. And, you know, film is like an empathy machine. I mean, I you were talking about World War II. I actually gave a talk on the liberation of Buchenwald a couple days ago, and there was a World War II veteran in one that served under my grandfather. Now, I can't be there, and I can't experience Buchenwald or liberating these camps, or he was actually a POW, but film kind of allows you to take yourself there as much as possible. And then when the vets present them and show them a month later, it's incredibly powerful. And you can talk to Blake or Mike McManus. Their films are up on our YouTube channel, patentveteransproject.org. And, you know, if they call that number and send a text, we'll follow up with them the same day and get them signed up. We'll put them on a wait list to get them in the next one.
Yeah, if you can't.
I'd love to have these things bursting at the seams. There's nothing more fun than making films with your friends or with new people.
Yeah, and if you can't make the one coming up in Billings, I'd imagine you guys might be willing to come do another event elsewhere across the state as well. It's got to be so just huge for families, especially because when we did the Big Sky Honor Flight and we took World War II veterans back to see their memorial in Washington, D.C., so many family members who went along that trip got to hear stories for the first time they had never heard.
Right. Yeah, whenever I meet a vet, particularly an older vet, I just say, have you recorded your story? And, you know, when you lose a life like that, it's like, my dad always said, it's like burning down a library or ripping out a book of scripture. So I already made a date to go interview this guy in a couple of weeks in Connecticut. I'm in New York City. But my instructors from all over the country, they're incredible. A lot of them are veterans. And boy, would I love to fill this thing. I mean, to get a bunch of people there, you end up making 4 or 5 films in small groups. And the whole thing is 2.5 days. And, you know, you're making a film basically in about a day. And you can see some extraordinary films on our website at patentveteransproject.org. The number's up there as well. But, I mean, just call that 970-657-5500. And let's get you signed up.
All right.
And don't make me come there. Don't make me come to the station.
Yeah, and you should come down. You should come down. Join us in studio when you're in town on the 16th. All right, quick break.
My cat Freddy loves to be brushed and cuddled. But stirring up his cat allergens meant sneezing and itchy eyes. Then I found Purina One Live Clear. It's cat food that reduced the major allergen and my suffering in as little as 21 days. Now we feel closer than ever. If you have issues with cat allergens, you really need to try Purina One Live Clear. Try new Purina One Live Clear today. Purina One, a difference from day one.
Fox News commentary.
Wednesday is the real ID deadline. If you don't have yours yet, do us a favor and don't go to the airport. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next. The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Wednesday, May 7th is a day that's been pushed back for over 5 years. The Real ID deadline goes into effect. The deadline to be Real ID compliant has been pushed back 4 times so far. In most states, all you got to do to get one is show proof of U.S. citizenship, a Social Security card, 2 proofs of residency like a utility bill or a pay stub. Most of us have had the Real ID for years now and didn't even know it. But now people are panicking because they won't be able to board a domestic flight without it starting this week. Important to note, you can also show a passport, so don't freak out. I already know this is going to cause a major headache at the TSA line and a needless headache at that. So as someone who travels weekly, I beg you, if you haven't made the time in 5 years to get the Real ID, please don't go to the airport and try to fly without it. Your procrastination shouldn't stall the rest of us. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some patchy fog in some areas early. Otherwise, looking at highs ranging from 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, expecting clear skies, lows from the mid-40s to around 50. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine, low 70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
From the van loads of illegals busted crossing the border near Shelby to the stabbing suspects in downtown Bozeman and an illegal alien being deported out of Billings, there is a pileup of illegal aliens in the Montana news. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got the full story, well, several stories, MontanaTalks.com. But I forgot one. There's one more I should have added in there. There was a big cocaine and meth bust.
Schedule your appointment today at MagicCityFamilyMedicine.com. That's MagicCityFamilyMedicine.com.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you from now until 10 a.m., plus John Jackson, the Joker from X, will be in the house for the next 2+ hours as well. Maybe we'll mic him up early here in just a second. I see we got a caller on the line right now that we'll get to. But, yeah, you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let me go double-check that. Oh, yeah, we've had a few messages come in here. Sorry, I'm a little late getting to some of these here. Let's see. Real quick, though. So I chatted a little bit further with Ben Patton from the Patton Veterans Project during the break, and he said, hey, if you're a veteran out there and you want to attend this workshop that's coming up in Billings, but you live outside of Billings, he said they might even be able to help you out with housing, with having a place to stay if you want to come down for this event. So don't let that be an inhibitor from you attending that Patton Veterans Project event. Chris in Billings on the phone lines. Chris, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Aaron, good talking to you. I wanted to implore a lot of audience to try not to react emotionally to the news. And what I'm talking about is this is pretty historic. Rush used to call it pushback, and pushback is not pretty. And just give them a chance to do what they need to do, no matter what you hear from the media. You know what I'm saying? Like, every day is about 4 or 5 items. He's at light speed, you know, the president. So I just wanted to say that. Give them a chance. It's not going to happen overnight. Let them do what they need to do.
Yeah, look at all of the negative news coverage. Who was it? Oh, yeah, Elon Musk, I think, had a post on X the other day where he pointed out that like 90% of the news coverage about Elon Musk was negative. 90% of the news coverage about El Salvador, MS-13 gangbanger Kilmore was positive. They elevate a criminal gangbanger who broke into this country illegally, and then they tear down a guy who rescued our astronauts, a guy who has built incredible American companies. That's the state of the media today. Yeah, great message, Chris. Thanks for the call. John Jackson already in the house. Your reaction, John?
Good morning, sir. Yeah. We've been talking about this quite a bit. You say you have a four-year presidency right here of Donald Trump. Well, really, what that kind of comes down to is about 10, 11 months, because he's inaugurated in January, and then you got about a year to work before they start into the next reelection cycle, and then you have to go ahead and assume that, like, historically, we might lose the House in 26. So you've just got this year. You've got right now to make all your big agenda items happen.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And the media is going to try to do an onslaught of negative attention, massive fear campaign. I think the word you use is fear porn,
yep,
which is a good description of what the media does here by and large. I mean, case in point, remember when the stock market, oh, no, your 401k is being decimated. Well, yeah, CNBC just a few days ago. The stock market rebound is now a historic winning streak. Stocks have erased nearly all of the early April losses.
The bedwetting and panty twisting by these people is just one big long propaganda campaign. And you know, they never ever, just like COVID and just like everything else they've ever done, they never have to come back and apologize, say we were wrong. Nobody ever loses their job. It's just on to the next lie.
Yeah, on to the next lie. Exactly. We see that even, unfortunately, in the local Montana media all too often. All right, let's see. We got somebody else calling in here. We'll try to sneak on before we run out of time. Caden, who you got for us there? I know we only got about 30 seconds left to go, so if you tell me, oh, okay, maybe it's nobody, or maybe sometimes people will just call in just to chat with Caden. They don't even want to talk to you, John, or me, which is fine. They just want to say hi to Caden. You know, he's a nice guy.
Well, you know what will happen, too? You ever get on a call, and all of a sudden something else happens right in front of you, you got to go. You got to hang up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yes. Squirrel! You know, you could have been a caller driving down the road in Bozeman, and they're thinking, oh, I'm going to call into this show. Oh, some illegal alien just slammed right into him.
Somebody else calls in, you know, you got to go.
Yeah, yeah. Downtown graffiti's getting to be a problem in Bozeman. You know, you bring in the third world, you start to get third world problems.
Fire
you
hose.
Bring in the gangs, you start to see graffiti.
Fire hose.
You know.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We should all give our profound thanks to Montana legislators who once again poured themselves into crafting laws that address opportunities and challenges we face across the state. These results of those efforts aren't always pretty, however, and that's especially so for the property tax. For each successive legislature, it seems, gives us that the property tax system is more complicated than before, and the 69th legislature followed that long tradition. Faced with political firestorms caused by galloping residential housing valuations, lawmakers have responded with a mixture of rebates, exemptions, and tax rates that vary by property use and value, all designed to shield homeowners, from bearing the brunt of future trends in market value. Viewing all this hard work from the cheap seats, one thought comes to my mind. That is the plain and simple fact that property taxes are decided locally, and most of the levers to control their growth can and should be pulled by local taxing authorities, not the legislature. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.